welcome, we're going to address the question, why study Bible prophecy? Firstly, we need to be clear that Bible prophecy is an important and integral part of Scripture. However, many people avoid Bible prophecy for various reasons. The following are some examples. I don't see the point of studying prophecy. It's too complicated. It can be divisive. What if I make a mistake? I'm only interested in the gospel. Studying prophecy is a waste of time. It's more important to show God's love. We will address each of these objections in this talk, but before we do so, we'll focus on the example of the prophet Daniel. Daniel was a student of Bible prophecy as shown in the following, in Daniel 9, verses 1 to 4. In the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. It's interesting to note from these verses that the prophet Daniel understood that the time was approaching God's promised repatriation of the people of Judah to Jerusalem through the study of books. Therefore, studying the prophecies recorded by others, in this case Jeremiah, formed an important part of Daniel's ministry. Likewise, we can now look back on the inspired writings of the prophets in the Bible and gain an understanding that we can apply to this day. We also read in Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So the Old Testament prophet Daniel set a precedent in studying prophecy. And in the New Testament, the members of the church, that is the body of Christ, are reminded that all things that were written in the Old Testament are recorded for our learning. And it's an integral part of God's teaching for this New Testament era. Now, having set some foundation principles, we move on to address some of the objections raised about Bible prophecy. Number one. I don't see the point of studying Bible prophecy. It's all about the past, and I prefer to live in the here and now, the present. At least one third of the Bible is directly associated with prophetic statements that explain the past, have been fulfilled, and are being fulfilled now, and declare what will happen in the future. Therefore, Bible prophecy is of great importance and is not to be ignored by serious Bible believers. The Bible declares that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 to 17. Neglecting prophecy, which constitutes such a large portion of Scripture, would deprive us from a huge amount of the content of the Bible. We're also encouraged to recognize that we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. The term take heed means to pay serious attention to. So the true Bible believer will pay serious attention to what the Bible declares as prophecy. We also read in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 that we are to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bible prophecy is not just about verifying the past, past history holds the key to what is occurring right now and points to what will happen in the future. One of the main purposes of Bible prophecy is to demonstrate the foreknowledge of God, the God who uniquely knows and declares the end from the beginning. We read in Isaiah 46 verses 9 to 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Number two, it's too complicated. The Bible is a spiritual book. It is inspired by God, literally God-breathed. The author of the book is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, one must have the Holy Spirit working within oneself to understand the correct meaning of the Scriptures. The Christian is admonished to build oneself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude 20-21. Prayer is essential communication with God, and prayer in the Spirit, which is praying in other tongues, as in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, is absolutely essential to open up the channel of divine revelation. What is unintelligible to the non-believer becomes intelligible to the true believer. Those who have not the Spirit are not Christians. Romans 8 verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And therefore, a person without the Spirit cannot properly understand the Word of God. Such persons will naturally find the Scriptures complicated and hard to understand. We read in 1 Corinthians 2 verses 14 to 16, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we, that is the Spirit-filled persons, the true Christians, have the mind of Christ. Even for those who have received the Holy Spirit, one must learn to lean upon the Spirit and not to natural understanding, as we read in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. By the diligent application of prayer, searching the Scriptures, and being motivated by the Holy Spirit, what would seem too complicated to the natural mind becomes understandable. The eyes of our understanding are being opened, as we read in Ephesians 1 verses 17 to 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Number three, prophecy can be divisive. There is no doubt that different interpretations of the prophetic content of the Bible can cause divisions, differences, and conflicts in understanding. However, in general, anything in the Bible can be misinterpreted or distorted if not properly discerned. Since the Bible is a spiritual book, being led by the Spirit of God, prayer in the Spirit, and comparing Scripture with Scripture are necessary to determine the correct interpretation. God will confirm the true interpretation through consistency in the Scriptures. His Word cannot contradict itself. We read in John 10 verse 35, and the Scripture cannot be broken. We're also reminded in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This implies that there is a right way and a wrong way. To divide, that means properly discern, distinguish the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, so it's clear that we must be led by the Spirit. We also read in 2 Peter 1 verses 19 to 21, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Proper interpretation comes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and not through individual opinion or intellect, independent of God. Division only comes through misguided individual thinking that is independent of the motivation of the Holy Spirit. This can be avoided through proving all things are in alignment with the whole Word of God. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, "Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Number 4. What if I make a mistake? This is a common fear, especially in relation to the serious warning at the end of the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, verses 18 to 19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." This is directly related to the book of Revelation, but the principle applies to the entire Word of God. The Bible is God's book. However, this injunction needs to be balanced with God's promise at the beginning of the book of Revelation. In Revelation 1 and verse 3 we read, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." It's evident that the book must be understandable, that the correct interpretation must be available to the reader. Otherwise, why would God have it written, and why promise a blessing? The answer is that God requires that we diligently look into his word to ensure we obtain the true picture. The reality is that now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Our knowledge is partial and will remain so until Christ returns and the overcoming Christian sees him face to face. The expectation is that, as we approach the return of Christ, our knowledge increases, becoming closer to a full understanding. It is wise to avoid any form of speculation. Some prophecy is clearly identified and fulfilled, for example, the virgin birth. Other prophetic statements are somewhat obscure, and the correct interpretation only becomes clear in the fullness of time. We need to exercise patience and diligence in our approach. We don't know everything. We wait upon the Lord to clearly show us the truth. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, as we read in John 16 and verse 13. We should certainly always proceed with caution. However, we must proceed. Number 5, I'm only interested in the gospel. The gospel is not only Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The English word gospel comes from the Old English Godspell, which literally means God's story. The whole Bible is God's story, and that certainly includes prophecy. So as a genuine Bible believer, one should by necessity have a keen interest in every aspect of the Bible as the inspired Word of God. There is no excuse for bypassing or eliminating prophecy. It's woven into the fabric of the entire Bible. The Bible, in fact, is a book of prophecy. Number 6, studying prophecy is a waste of time. The Bible believer is encouraged to study the Word of God, as we read previously in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, which includes prophecy, 2 Peter 1, verse 19. The true believer will meditate on God's Word on a continual basis. We read in Psalm 1, verse 2, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In Psalm 119, verse 97, Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Studying and meditating on the scriptures is never a waste of time. Number 7. It's more important to show God's love than prophecy. Philippians 1 and verse 9 records what Paul had to say about love. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So, for love to abound, it has to be combined with knowledge and judgment. We increase our knowledge of God and his plan and purpose through increasing our understanding of the scriptures. Luke 24, verse 27 records the words of Christ after his resurrection and appearance on the road to Emmaus. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Clearly, Jesus pointed to the many prophetic references in the Old Testament scriptures that identified him as the Messiah, the Saviour of all mankind, from the very foundation of the world. John chapter 5 and verse 39 records the words of Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. There is no more important subject in all Bible prophecy than that of the identification of Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. We read in Revelation 19 verse 10 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The love of God cannot be divorced from the knowledge of God, and that knowledge of God is recorded from the beginning in Bible prophecy. So, to conclude, many excuses can be brought up to avoid prophecy, but in reality, there is no valid excuse. Prophecy is a vital and an integral part of the Bible as the Word of God, the God who knows and declares the end from the beginning. God's predetermined plan is central to the expression of who God is and underscores the immutability of his word. Prophecy is not only worthy of our interest and study, it is absolutely essential to God's plan and purpose for mankind.